We celebrate this morning the Mass in honor of the holy angels. And in the first reading, we see that we have to have a clear and complete understanding of the world we live in. So many people will automatically blame God. They'll blame God for the evils in their life, for sickness. God didn't make sickness. He didn't make tsunamis. He didn't make volcanoes explode, sinkholes. He most certainly didn't make those. When God created the earth, it was perfect. It was perfect, flawless. It was a friend of mankind. It worked to serve him. But through sin, sin brought evil into the world. Sin brought all of the disease and turmoil. It says in the Old Testament that even the earth groaned for salvation. It groaned and moaned, waiting for the Messiah to come and save it as well. Why? Because sin had wrecked creation. It had broken it. And so he comes to restore it. And so we realize that all the evils in the world come from sin. Not necessarily our own sin, but we participate in it. All the evils that befall us in life are from sin. We can never blame God for that. He's the only one you will ever know in your life that could never or would never hurt you. He's holding out his hand all the time, all the time. He's always there next to you, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how deep in sin we fall, he's always there holding out his hand. He will never reject you. That's the covenant, you know. The covenant is that no matter how rotten you and I are, God will always be faithful, always. And that's the beauty of it. There's nothing we can do in life that could make God hate us. He will always love us. No matter what. And then he speaks of the means of truly achieving a good and holy world, to be aware of the presence of God. He is present in the Eucharist. He was present among them, giving them over and over more than abundance of what they ever needed. And that's the exact same way he is now. He waits for us in the tabernacle. He waits so that he can come. We can be transported to Calvary at this Mass and be literally present to his salvific passion, death, and his resurrection. Why? So that you and I can become him. He locks away in the tabernacle. Do you think that that key is just perchance that the church decided to lock him away in a tabernacle? He chose to be a prisoner locked away each and every day so that those who receive him, those who consume him, those who take him inside of them through by way of the Eucharist can become him to the world. He said, I'm going to be with you always until the end of the world, but he didn't mean that he was going to remain in every church just in the tabernacle, but you are to be the incarnation of Christ. You are to be his hands. You are to be his feet, his voice. His gentleness, his tenderness, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. Otherwise, how is the world going to know? How are they ever going to know that he's here? It's our responsibility to receive the abundance of gifts that he has given us and take them out into the world. Oh, we don't have to preach on a soapbox, but we do have to love. And in loving, we show compassion, mercy, tenderness, justice, yes, but always tempered with mercy. And for this reason, we celebrate in honor of the holy angels, because they are working with us. They are surrounding us always, trying to help us. And so therefore, let us always remember that we are a threefold church. Church triumphant in heaven, all of the saints and angels, the church suffering in purgatory who are praying, and you and I, the church militant, which simply means that you and I have the obligation to go forth from here to become Jesus, not the imitation of Jesus, but to become Jesus. He wants us to be him to the world, his voice, his hands, his arms, his love, his tenderness, and his forgiveness.